Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views. Bryce Diamond doing a preview pod this morning. Raptors playing the Miami Heat for the second time in three nights. Tough start for the season. And it always, I always am left scratching my head with the Raptors schedule. You guys have probably heard me talk about this a couple times. But when you look at some of the other teams' schedules, especially those teams that are in big markets, especially those teams who are kind of seen to be in the top five in their conference, the Raptors have a really tough go to start the season. First of all, we were on the road three of our first four games. Second of all, we have Brooklyn, Miami, Miami, Philly, Philly. That's not an easy way to start the season. But regardless, it makes for good television and certainly creates heart palpitations for each of us fans. I'm going to try to do a preview pod for each team this season. So because Miami is playing the Raptors twice, I thought, you know, at the start of the season, I thought, you know, it makes sense to get their preview pod in now versus later in the season. I'll try and do a Philly one later this week so that we can just talk about them since they're playing two games in a row, not back-to-backs luckily, but Wednesday and Friday. And then I'll try to get a post-game episode at the end of each series. So tomorrow I'll have a post game for both game one and game two, Raptors Heat. And then on Saturday or Sunday, I'll do a post game kind of mini series, I guess you could call it, rather than trying to do post games for each. You know, I got a life. I got kids. I got to cook meals and clean. I got a part-time job outside of the house as well. So some people call me a trophy husband. I don't know what you want to call me, but regardless, life is full, so I can't get to it all. Nobody's paying me for this. Although Zaya is always asking, when are we going to get paid? We really haven't got much more than a dime. But that's okay. We're having fun, and that's the point. We do this anyway, so we might as well put some energy into it. So I'm going solo here on this preview pod, Miami Heat Raptors. Of course, on Saturday, first back-to-back of the season, we weren't the only team, but man, not a lot of fun to have to play a back-to-back within the first three games of the season, especially going Brooklyn on the road, Miami on the road, back-to-back. That is tricky stuff. We did play this team on Saturday night and got down big before there was a major turn of events with Caleb Martin Goldberg spearing Miami Dolphin style tackle on Christian Coloco. Welcome to the NBA, rookie. But I'm not going to get too much into last game because, I'll talk about what happened last game and what happened in this game coming up tonight, tomorrow in the post game. Last season, I want to get into a little bit about last season and what these two teams have been like the last few years. The Miami Heat and Toronto Raptors, you could say, have the most continuity coming in to this season. And it makes a lot of sense. There are, you know, a kind of a star or two on both teams, or certainly some big-time vets on each team. And then a bunch of young guys who make up the rest of the lineup, certainly the rest of the scoring. Last year, these two teams hammered each other in very competitive, hotly contested matchups. You don't expect anything less from Eric Spoelstra and Nick Nurse teams. These two coaches are seen as two of the best, if not the two best coaches in the Eastern Conference. And I would say these guys are like top three, maybe top four, you could argue, coaches in the league. Spoelstra and Nurse probably right there with Steve Kerr before Brad Stevens decided to go to a GM, which I think was a mistake. He was in that grouping as well. But yeah, these two teams battled, and last season, one game went to overtime. I think three of the four games went right down to the final minute. There were a lot of guys injured or absent last year, so we didn't always get the full experience, but some really competitive games and quality basketball. The Miami Heat, of course, if you remember in the spring, were one shot away from going to the NBA Finals. They made a great run getting to the conference finals, playing Boston to their limit. And if it weren't for some real injury issues with Kyle Lowry, hopefully he's healthy this season in the playoffs, and Tyler Hero, Miami's fate might have been a little bit different. Jimmy Butler carried this team for much of the playoffs, especially with Hero and Kyle out or not 100%. And Jimmy took a very gutsy three in Game 7 at Eastern Conference Finals, having come back down 13, about 7.5, 8 minutes to go in the fourth. They came all the way back, and Jimmy, down two, decides to take a transition three in Al Horford's face with 18 seconds to go and comes up short. Last year, Miami, at the start of the playoffs, were my pick to play the Warriors. I certainly didn't foresee Chris Middleton getting injured, but just felt like the Celtics would squeak out a series against the Bucks. And I thought Miami could take Boston. I really did. And felt like the Heat were the best team from the East to match up with the Warriors. The Celtics certainly offered a lot of mismatches, but I felt like the Heat could match up the best, kind of person for person. And certainly from an experience standpoint, with PJ Tucker in the lineup, with Kyle Lowry, with Jimmy Butler, I felt experience-wise, they had the best group as well to put on the court against the Golden State Warriors with all their speed and perimeter shooting. What happened, and the Heat were unable to complete the comeback in that seventh game, and of course, their season ended in the Eastern Conference Finals. This year, tons of continuity, and chemistry remains for this team, which is kind of, a hallmark for this Miami Heat culture, as they say. This team did lose PJ Tucker to the Philadelphia 76ers. After going 0-3, I'm not sure that was the best decision, but you know, there's many games left in the season. I think Philly's probably going to win 50, but I think Miami's probably going to win a few games over 50. This team, without Tucker, do they have the bench depth and size that's required against longer wing teams like the Nets? You could say like the Sixers, although I don't think the Sixers have much depth. Certainly against the Celtics, how are they going to fare? It will be very interesting how it plays out. But before we get to, kind of looking more at these two rosters matching up against each other for the season, I want to look a little bit at the history of these two teams and franchises. I think it's important to kind of remind ourselves about what these two teams have done. Now, over the course of the franchise history between these two teams, kind of the head-to-head matchups, the Heat have the advantage 59 to 38. The Miami Heat, of course, came to the league in the 88, 89 season. And they certainly got off to a solid start. And once they were able to get guys on their team, like Alonzo Mourning, they were able to build something special. Of course, they drafted Dwayne Wade and won a championship in 06 and had a very competitive team in Dwayne Wade's early days. Shaquille O'Neal was on that team, obviously, a star-studded group that included Gary Payton Jr., who didn't win a chip in Seattle, went to LA, went to the finals, lost, then came to Miami with Shaq, and they were able to win a title that year. Of course, then LeBron James comes into the mix, and they really dominate the Eastern Conference with three All-Stars and three Hall of Famers. Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James. But it's interesting that after that, really after the Dwayne Wade, LeBron era with Chris Bosh dominating for four seasons, they really take a step back. And it's at that time, as LeBron goes to Cleveland, that the Raptors then start to go on their ascension in the Eastern Conference. These two teams played in 2016 in the second round. It went to seven games. Probably was a longer series than it should have been, but Miami was savvy. Goran Dragic was on that team. And Udonis Haslem was still getting some minutes. And D Wade had a bit of a renaissance circa 2006, 2007 kind of era. He was very, very good in that playoff run and made things really tight through six games before Kyle Lowry took over in game seven at home in front of the Toronto fan base. This matchup, Miami-Toronto, has the potential to be a 4-5 or 3-6 matchup. Right now, I would see Miami as the four seed, Raptors as the five seed. But these two teams could be anywhere between three and six, depending how things play out in the Eastern Conference. Last season, they played four times. I believe this season they only play three times. Unfortunately for Raptors fans, we didn't get to see Kyle Lowry in the first game between these two teams. He came to Toronto April 3rd, and when they did, it was a great game up until probably the last 5 minutes when Miami took over. But it was a great matchup to see Fred go toe-to-toe against Kyle. In that game, Fred hit the most threes in Raptors history in one season. Fred surpassed Kyle for most threes in a season. And it was just a great vibe all around, and a really good ball game, certainly for the neutral and casual. Kyle did show up and was able to make some key plays and key buckets down the stretch of that game. But regardless, they had won. It was 2-2 again, both teams winning on the road and at home. There was an overtime game that really turned the season around for the Raptors. And I had mentioned to Zaya when they won that game, I think it went to triple overtime before it was put away. And there's some big time clutch free throws by Pascal and Scotty in that game. But I said to him that I think this is when they turn around. They know they can win against a good playoff team, a contending playoff team. And certainly it was a key moment. That was early February, late January, early February. And the team really gelled, came together. Precious stepped up. Chris Boucher was on a tear. Pascal, you could say, was kind of at his mid-season form finally. Freddie did get injured around that time, but it allowed Gary, Scotty, and Pascal to really rise their game with Precious. And that made this matchup even more special. The key in this game, there'll be a lot of key matchups, but there'll also be some kind of trends to look for, one way or the other, advantages to look for one way or the other. Certainly Pascal versus Jimmy Butler is a good battle. Hero versus Gary Trent, a lot is talked about. Those two players, very similar styles. They offer their team something very similar as a shooting guard. Fred versus Kyle is a great matchup. Big Bear versus Little Bear. And of course, the coaches, as we mentioned near the start of this pod, Eric Spoelstra versus Nick Nurse. Actually, both guys are in the top five for salaries. Both guys have won a title. And these two teams, through their coaches, since Nick Nurse took over as head coach, are the top two Eastern Conference teams based on record and playoff success. So pretty exciting stuff that these two teams are matching up early in the season. To some degree, a litmus test, certainly for the Raptors, probably more than the Heat. But I think this matchup, and I think we could say this as well if it went into the playoffs, so there's a lot of season still to go. I think the starting lineups match up fairly well. I think they're both have a lot of depth in scoring. There's a lot of savviness. The Miami Heat certainly have better shooting on their starting lineup, and they have more veteran experience through Jimmy and Kyle, and actually through Bam Adebayo have quite a lot of playoff games too. But on the other side of the ball, the Raptors are an elite defensive team. Not that Miami's not a good defensive team, they are, but I think Toronto is elite, very switchable, and of course they've got that length outside of Fred that they can offer. But I think this series really comes down, this regular season series really comes down game in, game out to the bench production. And last game, this was seen quite clearly. The evidence is there. The bench for the Miami Heat were much, much better. We did see the return of Malachi Flynn, which was excellent. He looked pretty good, actually, with the mask on, a la Rip Hamilton. There's talk, a lot of talk, of Chris Boucher returning tonight for his season debut, which would be exactly what the Toronto Raptors need. Scotty Barnes is questionable for tonight, so that could really affect who the bench is. Although for me personally, I think if Scotty's injured, they should put Christian Coloco out on the starting lineup. Personally, not that they'll close with that lineup, but they start with that lineup because I think it's really important to have Thad Young partner up with Precious and Chris Boucher, who can shoot the three, who do shoot the three, rather than Christian Coloco. It just opens up the floor for Thad's playmaking, and certainly just better cutters. You know, Christian Coloco is more of a receiver of lobs than he is a guy who's going to go backdoor on anybody. You know, he's still working on that kind of side of the game, his cuts, and that will come. But he is a bigger guy. And so where his advantage is through those lobs in a pick and roll. And Thad's just not going to do a pick and roll at this stage. And we haven't seen it as well. Which Precious is going to show up? He played really good in the second half of the game on Saturday. So, you know, if he scores another 18 points, that's going to even things out. The Miami Heat did have an advantage of 39 points to 32 Raptor bench points, which was a better night mostly because of how Precious played. But, you know, Delano and Malachi give some good guard play. Hopefully they can limit their turnovers. And maybe, you know, Delano gets comfortable and has some confidence to shoot the mid-range too. But with his cutting ability and his slashing ability, I think him and Thad Young also play better together, knowing that Precious and Chris Boucher can be in the corners, can play pick and pop. I think that is an advantage too. So how the bench does, I think will dictate how this team is going to do. Precious certainly kept them in the game with Scotty Barnes getting injured with an ankle sprain in the first half. It was only a 6-point game at the first half. So who knows how that will play out. But I really do hope that Koloko starts, even if he doesn't close. On the bench side for the Miami Heat, Max Strus now starts on the bench with Hero going into the starting lineup. Duncan Robinson, the most overpaid bench player in the NBA, is on that bench group. Deadman. How about Dwayne Deadman making a career? This guy was in Sacramento. This guy was in Atlanta. And now he's in Miami. He works hard. He doesn't need the ball a lot. He'll roll well. He's a hardworking, kind of old school, you know, Indiana Pacers from the 90s, New York Knicks from the 90s type guy. So he's on that group. He gives them an anchor. Gabe Vincent is also part of this bench group. And then they got young guys like Omer Yurtseven and Nikola Jovic, although we haven't seen a lot of Nikola Jovic yet, not to get mistaken for Nikola Jokic, Nikola Jovic. Victor Oladipo is usually part of this bench unit, although maybe when he comes back fully healthy, Tyler Hero gets bumped to the bench. We'll see if that plays out. Oladipo is trying to make his career now as more of a point guard type. Certainly trying to work on his outside game, but due to tendonitis, chronic tendonitis, Oladipo has been out of the lineup and he will be out of the lineup today. There will not be Caleb Martin in the lineup. As we said at the top, Caleb Martin got into a situation with Christian Koloko after a rebound where Caleb Martin decided to tackle, literally tackle, Christian Koloko. I'm not really sure what transpired prior to that play happening, but as Koloko was hammered after the play on a rebound by Caleb Martin decided to tackle him as Christian Koloko was getting up. So kind of a funny play. Caleb Martin isn't necessarily a hothead that I've seen, but in this situation, he just, you know, something, you know, got into him and he decided to put Christian Koloko to the ground. There was camera people, there was the first row fans that were right there. It was a very odd situation. Kyle Lowry and OG Anunoby had kind of calmer heads, cooler heads in that situation, and were able to, you know, end that scuffle fairly quickly. But yeah, just a bizarre situation which saw Christian Koloko get ejected from the game. Never threw a punch, never really pushed back. He might have said something after Martin put him to the ground, but just an odd situation. But again, this is one of those things that we've seen, you know, like a Jakob Poeltl. Big man rookies often get I guess they get bad calls against them. It's as simple as that. The league likes to target guys like this because they don't want to give cheap fouls or reoccurring fouls to NBA stars. So this is one of those situations where, for whatever reason, the ref saw, or however, the ref saw something from that Christian Coloco did or maybe said to Caleb Martin, but an ejection, having no prior history, having really not been the instigator nor the aggressor in this situation, got tossed. Caleb Martin is suspended, so he will not be in the game tonight because of his actions. He'll also be fined $15,000. Somehow Coloco gets fined $15,000. I'm sure that he cares about NBA Cares, but I don't know if he wanted to make a donation to NBA Cares worth a $15,000 check worth. But who knows? Maybe he talked to the commissioner and said, you know what? Just lump me in there for 15 grand. I love NBA Cares. I have no idea. Just kind of a bizarre situation. So that will change things on the bench and in the starting lineup. So both teams missing a player from their starting lineup, Caleb Martin for the Heat and Scotty Barnes for the Toronto Raptors. I'm interested to see how this game starts. I'm interested to see how Fred plays. He's kind of taken more of a playmaking role, kind of more of an operator and manager, general type role, which makes sense to me. But they might need to count on him or call on him early, certainly if Gary or OG have a slow start. So we'll see what happens there. I really hope OG is aggressive this game. Not entirely sure why he was slow to get going or almost, you know, passive in this Heat game. Gary got hot late in the game. But it was a slow start for both of those guys to some degree. And without Scotty in the lineup, you really need them to step up with Pascal. And if Pascal has a running mate in that first half, could be tight. But like I said, I really do think it comes down to the bench. And the Miami Heat bench were very good from the beginning. Last game. So hopefully that's the case this year. Online, Raptors and Heat Twitter were at it, as often is the case. They were arguing a lot over not just the you know result itself, but the Coloco Caleb Martin dust up or body slam that Caleb Martin gave. You know, it wasn't much different from when OG Anunoby kind of half suplexed, Dennis Schroeder. Although I think in that one, Dennis Schroeder instigated with Gary Trent Jr. and then OG Anunoby just tossed him. And then Harrell got into the game, got into the mix, and somehow Harrell was tossed. That was a bizarre scene too. We'll see what happens in this game with the dust up, but certainly Raptors Twitter was very animated, targeted at the Miami Heat fan base and Heat culture. And it's interesting, you know, when we talk about Heat culture, and this is something that is often referenced, on various podcasts by various media people. And even Heat culture is referenced by the players of the Miami Heat. And, you know, this is a hardworking group of guys. They've certainly, as a franchise, have won a lot. They've also had superstars on this team a lot. But in the years that they don't necessarily have the stars to make them a favorite, they are able to punch above their weight in a lot of ways. And I think in the bubble, Jimmy and the squad were able to do that. And even last year, you could say that they punched above their weight, knowing that Joel Embiid and James Harden were on Philly, knowing that Kyrie and KD were with the Brooklyn Nets. You could say the Heat were kind of in that top five, but are they gonna surface? Are they gonna emerge as a top team? And they did emerge because of how hard they worked, because of continuity, because of chemistry, because of their belief in themselves, but also their focus to take care of the small details, find the mismatches and advantages, play to their strengths, limit their weaknesses, all that stuff. And in a lot of ways, the Raptors try to maximize that too. And both franchises have a lot of respect for each other. But I think it's important when you talk about heat culture, when people make that reference, that we remember a couple things about this Miami Heat team. Outside of having a top 10 guy, which is true for almost every champion outside of the 2004 Detroit Pistons, every team who wins has at least one top 10 guy. And for the Miami Heat, you could say when they won titles, they had multiple top 10 guys and probably a top 5 guy. Certainly with LeBron there, that was the case. So, you know, let's not get too out of hand to say that this Heat culture allows them to rise up, you know, above other teams in some sort of magical way. Jimmy Butler in the playoffs is a top 10 guy. That is the truth. This is also a franchise that has money and also a franchise that resides in Florida, only one of 8 states in the United States of America that doesn't have state income tax. So let's make it clear that has a major advantage. The weather also has a major advantage. You put Toronto in a climate like Miami without state income tax or provincial income tax, yeah, things are going to change. All of a sudden, stars and free agents in their prime are now interested. So we got to be honest about certain things that go on. That's not to take anything away from how good a coach Eric Spoelstra is. But the truth is, if you want to win a title, you've got to be willing to spend money. And you've got to be able to recruit, to attract free agents. Toronto Raptors were able to do that through a trade, getting Kawhi Leonard, again, top 5 guy, comes to a team in a big market. The Raptors are a big market. But yeah, these two teams are the best two teams in the Eastern Conference in the last 10 years. And I think the Raptors have more of a culture that they've cultivated with winning, and Masai's created continuity. And they've had to work extremely hard. I would say harder than almost every team in the league because of their climate, high taxes, and being outside of the United States. Whereas the Miami Heat, nice weather, low income tax, big sexy market, coastal elite. Yeah, you know what? Like, it's a little easier to be the Miami Heat than it is the Toronto Raptors. So we got to put that into perspective when we talk about Heat culture and the success. The Toronto Raptors in the last 10 years have had the most wins in the Eastern Conference above the Miami Heat. In the last 5 years, the Toronto Raptors trail just the Milwaukee Bucks for most wins in the Eastern Conference, including the Boston Celtics, another coastal elite. So that's really good to see that, yes, these two franchises are right at the top in the last 5 years, in the last 10 years in the NBA, and that's great, and that's what they come in with tonight and in this series this season. Hopefully, the Raptors get the win tonight, and hopefully in the post-game or post-mini-series episode tomorrow, we will have some real positive things to say, and we'll be able to even up our record at 2-2 on the season. We could lose, and it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility or hard to imagine. This is a good Miami team at home, and it being our third straight home game to start the season, it wouldn't be out of the question. Certainly, if we lose, we're not in as bad a situation as the Philadelphia 76ers, who have gone 0-3, and the Los Angeles Lakers at 0-3. So nothing to feel bad about if we lose tonight, but hopefully we can get out quick, our bench can play well, and we can tie up this season series against the Miami Heat and flex our Toronto Raptors culture and minimize a bit the Miami culture. All right, y'all. Hope you are well on this very warm, lovely surprisingly warm late October day. If you're in Ottawa, if you're in Toronto, if you're anywhere in Ontario, please go out and vote today. It is voting day. And if you're anywhere listening to this, please remember, Brittany Griner is continuing to be detained in a Russian prison. And however you can, whether it's through conversation or social media, please use your platform, use your voice to shine a light on this terrible situation within the NBA world, basketball world. All right. Have a great day, y'all. Peace.